where they have rolled out the red carpet for us. Wonderful city. Great group of people. You know, Alex Jones is going to be with us now for the next 2 hours. And I was just talking to Alex about how I had gone over to join the Illuminati, and he just about fell off his chair, but he's propped himself back up again. And we'll be back with the Bulldog, Alex Jones, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Noy, along with Alex Jones. Alex, do you really think I'd go over to the side of the Illuminati?
George, I was just joking you back. You know, I was out there camped out outside, and you know, it was kind of scary.
You've been there for 2 weeks waiting for me to be here.
Exactly.
You?
When you came out and said that, it was terrifying.
How you been?
Fantastic, man. And it's just so wonderful to be on the second biggest radio show in the country and the world.
Who's the first?
You know who that is. It's Lord Limbaugh. But seriously, it's just so amazing, and I'm so glad that you share the airwaves with me. And it's just always such a wonderful honor, and your courage is amazing.
Let me tell you a funny story. Austin, Texas is your home. Just landed at the airport a few hours ago with Tom before we had a dinner with some KLBJ winners. And so we're waiting for our ride, and the guy's there holding up a sign, and somebody spotted my name on his signs, and he wasn't going anywhere. He just stood there behind the driver waiting and waiting. And then when I showed up, he popped up and he shook my hand and he said, "Gosh, we love Coast to Coast. Welcome to Austin, Texas. You treat Alex Jones right. He's our guy." You know, his whole persona changed.
Well, I'll tell you, my 80-something-year-old grandmother, I told you this last time I was on, she is addicted. She wasn't just a year ago. And every night she listens. Here in Austin, listening right now, George, so I want to say hi to her again.
How old is she?
I think she's 82.
That's my dad's age, too. You know,
she's fantastic.
Age. Good for her. Good for her. You know, so many things have been going on I wanted to talk with you about today. In the brief time we've got, these 2 hours are going to fly by, and we've got to take phone calls. But I want to get your reaction to one big news story that's happening. Then we'll get into the history of the Illuminati and this push for the One New World Order. The Iranian president, Ahmadinejad, is saying Israel will be destroyed soon. The United States will be destroyed soon. We know that Iran and North Korea are working on some kind of collaboration of a nuke. I know you're not a warmonger. I'm not a warmonger. I know that you get suspicious in terms of what wars are and who causes wars. But in this particular case, how can we as a nation permit this guy to keep spouting his rhetoric, even if it may be talk, when we know they're working on a nuclear bomb?
Well, let's be clear. I'm no fan of Ahmadinejad. And before he got into power 3 years ago, they had a moderate in there who wanted to deal with the U.S., and the defense contractors that control this country and the big banks snubbed him and said, you know, basically, no, we don't want to work with you. And the CIA openly admits it's been in the New York Times, it's been in Cy Hirsch's columns, and White House has now confirmed it in the New Yorker, that special forces troops are there running operations inside the country. And so they want a hard line. It's kind of like the old Western movies where the evil regulator throws down the gun in front of the 13-year-old kid, mm-hmm. and he says, "Pick it up, pick up the gun," yeah. as comedian Bill Hicks would say. And the kid goes, "I don't want to, mister. I want to just go buy some rock candy and some Giggum for my mom." He goes, "Pick up the gun." And then, "Okay, mister." And he picks it up and you saw it. He had a gun. Let's go back to North Korea. Kim Jong-il has press conferences where he says he will nuke the United States. We know he has at least 9A bombs. He has Taipong Dong 2 missiles that can hit. You can draw a circle over the North Pole right through as far down as Kansas City, Missouri, right across the United States.
They can go that far.
Yes. And that's admitted. Taipong Dong 2s can do that. In 2000, Kim Jong-il fired a test missile that didn't have a warhead that broke up coming into the atmosphere and fell on areas of northern Alaska.
Right. We talked about that.
So my point is, you got people with nukes who are Listen, middle of last year, the head of the Chinese military, their top general, calls a press conference. There's over 100 members of the media, Forbes, the Wall Street Journal, CNN, ABC, and he shows on a big computer screen, a big wall jumbotron, 214 U.S. targets. And this was in the Times of London. It was in the Wall Street Journal. And he said, "We're targeting these sites with Long March 2 rockets, which are intercontinental ballistic missiles that carry MIRV technology, so when they come back through the atmosphere, atmosphere, the nose cone pops off, and 12 to 24 warheads come in with some dummies to beat our strategic defense initiative and particle beams, directed energy weapons. And so he says, if you get involved in Taiwan, you get involved in any of our national assets, any of our national security, we're going to preemptively hit you with our arsenal. So when somebody in a banana republic like Ahmadinejad, who's barely hanging on and 65% of the population want him out, he's on the edge of rebellion, every major statistician who's honestly studied it says that if we attack Iran, it will actually unify support under the mullahs and the hardline right-wingers. If we leave him alone and have sanctions and let this continue out, the CIA's own assessment says 5 to 9 years till they get a weapon. Then there's the delivery system. And Israel's got 400 to 600 nukes. We've got 10,000 in working position. If he ever does anything, it'll be a glass parking lot. And so bottom line, the globalists are telling us Iran's the big threat, and I'm not saying they're nice, friendly people running it right now. But again, the hardliners in this country wanted that as a pretext for global war that will then bring in their new world order. So I'm looking at it in a three-dimensional fashion. I'm trying to play chess instead of checkers.
But again, what about the guy who's the elected president of that country who is saying U.S. is going to be destroyed, Israel is going to be destroyed?
We have a story on PrisonPlanet.com that was written yesterday on PrisonPlanet.com that actually has his actual quotes, and they are inflammatory, and I don't agree with them. But what he says is every time there's a response of, we'll nuke you, you know, it's been the news, they're talking about hitting him with the tactical nukes. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about 200 plus sites, not 7 or 8. Okay, and the State Department just came out with that. They're talking about going into the eastern area out of the, you know, going into the western area of Iran, out of the east of Iraq. We're talking about full scale war, blowing up their entire Navy, hitting their entire main line. Conventional military weapons. Every time they say, we're going to destroy you, we're going to cause you great pain, and we have the U.S. government, the Israeli, and the British government's quotes, and then we show his response, he says, well, okay, if you do that, you'll be wiped off the map, you'll be destroyed. So what's happening is he is saying you'll be wiped off the map, Israel and the U.S. will be destroyed, but it's being taken out of context. And again, I'm not defending even his statements, but the point is he doesn't have one-tenth the power Kim Jong-il has, and Kim Jong-il doesn't have one-hundredth the power of the communist Red Chinese.
So are you saying he basically has been reacting to statements that are forthcoming to him, and those aren't getting published?
What I'm saying is they had a very soft position and wanted to deal, and that got snubbed. And so the mullahs put in, I mean, he's a puppet. The supreme leader runs everything over there.
True.
And so they put him in there.
And they let him spout off.
And they let him spout off because they know they're in danger of being overthrown. And even the State Department says if Iran is hit, it will solidify their power for another 30 years. Mm-hmm. They're about to lose control. They're young people. They're very secular, very mainstream. Even most of their, you know, older folks are like that. They're a very sophisticated country. They're Persians. And they have a very strong military, you know, compared to Iraq. And so they're happy to get hit with some nukes. They're happy to go ahead and spread the jihad. They're happy to start World War III. Okay? I mean, even Oliver North, who's a big neocon, is coming out and saying the surge is a joke. It's just a political stunt, and we don't need to do this. I mean, a lot of serious conservatives are going, look, Iran wants to be attacked, okay? What do they know that the general public doesn't know, okay? And it's going to demonize America. I mean, here in the U.S., people think, well, let's go ahead and nuke them. It'll be great. So what? Glass parking lot. The world's going to see that completely differently. And the U.S. only has now like a 30% approval rating. We had a 40-something percent just a few years ago. We're plunging in the people's view in the world. And by the way, the globalists, the New World Order that runs thing, is actually letting the U.S. do their dirty work, letting us get into these fights, letting us take out their enemies, and then they're going to demonize us later, as they're already doing internationally, and basically come in and pick up the pieces. I don't want to be a part of this because it's an unwinnable war, and it's a war that will actually spread violence and sectarian violence. That's what they want. I understand your statements. I've heard you say, I didn't like the first attack 3.5 years ago in Iraq. I don't agree with that, but I think Ahmadinejad, you know, something needs to be done.
Would you systematically take him out in a strategic take? Boom, he's gone.
I probably wouldn't cry if Ahmadinejad slipped on a banana peel and broke his neck tomorrow.
All right.
But, again,
And especially, that's
certainly better than nuking them. I mean, that's certainly better than...
I would agree. You know, I would feel more comfortable with the guy just being quiet.
Well, George, the question is, why 3 years ago when they were saying, we want a deal, we want to do whatever you say, they had more UN inspectors than any country, they were following all the agreements, and the UN said, hey, just hold off on your peaceful program for a year, and then we'll let you resume it. And then the UN said, no, you can't. And they said, well, no, you lied, and so they got cheated. Now, let's not forget, this is Declassified, my film Terror Storm, free on Google Video, or you can get it at Infowars.com on DVD, shows the CIA government's own documents from CIA.gov, our own government's documents, where in 1953, their elected leader, Mohammad Mossadegh, Time Magazine Man of the Year, secular, a poet, you know, very intelligent, ran the communist out of his country. And he said, you know what? I'm going to keep 20%, 25% of our oil revenues from Anglo-American Oil, now BP. And they openly went, and our government, with MI6, the British went and staged terror attacks with Kermit Roosevelt, the former president's grandson, mm-hmm. and blew up mosques, shot people, did all this, blamed it on Mossadegh, overthrew him. And then so 30-something years later, there's a violent overthrow, and the Ayatollah Khomeini comes into power. I'm saying Iran has never come in and overthrown our government.
Well, Iran came in after that.
Yes, right? Yes. Well, yes, the Shah and then Savak, but I'm talking about in 79. Right, sure, right. Sure. So the Shah came in 53, and then there was the torture and all the evil, and then up until that point, then that got overthrown. And, I mean, they killed hundreds of thousands of people. They had torture camps. The CIA ran the whole thing. Can you imagine being the Iranians who did nothing to us, and our government in 53 stages terror attacks there? To overthrow their government, puts in a puppet princeling, they torture and kill all these people, and of course they ran the mullahs, okay, who are distasteful as well. So my point is, did Iran ever overthrow the U.S. government? Did Iran ever stage terror attacks and blame it on our president? No. Our government, that is the shadow government, I don't blame our entire government, criminal elements did that, and they wrote books about it. Kermit Roosevelt in the mid-90s wrote a book about it before he died in 1999.
Which leads me to this. I've always talked about the possibility of this planet being a peaceful planet, if we could ever get that way, where somebody realizes that, you know, we're going to stop fighting and we're going to start helping people. The problem is, those people you just mentioned, that shadow government that is all over the place, that is looming in countries.
They get power out of chaos.
They will not stop. So how do we fix this? If everybody wanted peace... They won't.
Well, it's because elites, I mean, Lord Acton said power tends to corrupt. It's a great point, George. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So we got evil people running the U.S. government, whether Republican or Democrat, at that level, they're bought and paid for by the globalists. We got evil people running Iran.
And they may not even be in political parties.
Well, absolutely. They're in
Their own party.
They own central banks. Their great-great-grandfather endowed Harvard. You know, they are institutionalized. They have roots deep into our society. You know, later we've got an H.G. Wells clip, and I'm a big fan of his movies, a big fan of his books. I'm not here to bash him, but he wrote nonfiction books, more nonfiction books than he wrote fiction. Mm-hmm. And he says in the books, we're going to have one world government. We're going to have one child policies. Anybody that doesn't submit to one world government is going to be killed. And we even have a clip from a book he wrote 10 years before that came out in 1937, where this guy lands in a stealth bomber. Now, it's a perfect stealth bomber like we have today.
Sure.
He lands basically in England, and he's coming from Basra, Iraq, but he's a white guy. And he tells him, he says, we've got the new order. We don't allow you to have private airplanes. And they basically gas the public later to make them submit and go under one world government control. And they say, we don't allow sovereign nation states. We're here to shut down sovereign nation states. Well, he wrote a book called The New World Order, where he laid out 80-something years ago, everything that's now happened. He said there's going to be a Second World War. The World War I failed to get a League of Nations, so they started and engineered and funded Hitler and Stalin and others to then create another crisis so they could have a big enough war to then call for United Nations. Now the same people are talking about World War III to finally bring in their one world government with the promise of it's going to end all war, when the people really running the one world government are the people orchestrating and implementing all the major books. And H.G. Wells was the futurist to the Queen. H.G. Wells, literally, the guy that wrote The Time Machine and The Island of Dr. Moreau and War of the Worlds. Well, this guy wrote nonfiction books like The New World Order, which you can read online for free. We have links to it up on Infowars.com, where he openly, in fact, here's a quote from H.G. Wells. There may still be very great delays and disappointments before it becomes an efficient and beneficent world system. Countless people will hate the New World Order and will die protesting against it. When we attempt to evaluate its promise, we have to bear in mind the distress of a generation or so of malcontents, many of them gallant and graceful-looking people, H.G. Wells, The New World Order book. Over here, National Socialism will use its own revolution for establishing a New World Order, Adolf Hitler. Here's another one, George Bush Sr., September 11th, 1990. Out of these troubled times, a New World Order can emerge under a United Nations that performs as envisioned by its founders. If we have time, we can play that clip. We can play it after the break.
Okay, I can play it right now.
Here it is, H.G. Wells' book put into a film, 1937, where he's telling the leader of a country, you can't have sovereignty. We're going to take you over. When they don't submit, they come and nerve gas the entire population.
The first thing we shall want is to get our planes in the air again.
Why? A laudable ambition. But our new order has an objection to private airplanes.
The impudence.
I'm not talking about private airplanes. Our airplanes are public airplanes. This is an independent sovereign state at war. I know nothing about any old order. I'm the chief here. And I'm not taking any orders, old or new, from you.
Suppose I've walked into trouble.
Yeah, you can take that as right.
Where have you come from?
I flew from our headquarters at Basra this morning. We have some hundreds of new type planes, and we're building more, fast. The factories are working again. We're gradually restoring order and trade in the whole Mediterranean area. We're scouting this region now to see how things are.
You found out. This is an independent sovereign state.
Yes, we must talk about that.
We don't discuss it.
We don't approve of independent sovereign states.
You don't approve?
We mean to stop them.
That's war.
If you will.
Well, I think we know how we stand.
There you go.
We don't allow independent sovereign states, and I have quote after quote. I have Henry Kissinger here. These are public quotes, that they will occupy the U.S. with foreign troops using the threat of terrorism from 1991, and I have hundreds of these. They write books saying they're going to enslave us, knowing that only the intelligentsia reads it. Meanwhile, the nightly news says world government doesn't exist, the Illuminati doesn't exist, none of this exists. Before, and we talk about this after break, Aldous Huxley, before he died in 62, George, said some very, very chilling things because his brother had been the head eugenicist, the head of the UN's UNESCO Bureau, the Secretary General of the United Nations Educational and Cultural Organization. And in fact, I even brought a CD of that tonight, but it's probably too long to play, where right before he died at Berkeley, he said, listen, Brave New World that I wrote in 1933 is really what we're planning. By 2000, we're going to be drugging the public, we're going to be controlling them, we're going to have genetic engineering, we're going to dumb down everybody, we're going to have a caste system, we're going to have a one world government, and of course they're a few years behind, they're about 6-8 years behind, but here's a guy in 62 who wrote something in 33 laying out everything that they're now doing, the New Freedom Initiative, the tracking, the spying, the control. I mean, literally, you had the world government, you had the big central banks and the royalty, and they got sold by prominent, Huxley was a sociologist, so was H.G. Wells, degreed sociologist, and their whole families, including Huxley's brother, Julian Huxley, were literally involved. So the science fiction they were writing, the reason it's so incredible, why he wrote this 80 years ago, wrote this 70 years ago, wrote this 100 years ago, how did it all come true? It's because they had a lot of suppressed technologies at the time, and they were really intending to develop all of this and use this against the people. It's unbelievable.
When we come back, we'll talk about how the globalists are trying to engineer our downfall on Coast to Coast AM. And our guest for the next couple hours, Alex Jones. We're going to take phone calls with Alex next hour. Alex, you're probably wondering why we're playing that bumper song. Did you ever see the movie The Green Mile?
I did. It's excellent.
Remember that song in the movie?
Yeah, it's a Stephen King novel.
And he was up there looking and says, "Dem angels, boss." You remember that?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the movie, go ahead and get it. You'll know exactly why I play that bumper song. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Alex, no question, the globalists are trying to engineer the downfall of the United States. What are they trying to do? How are they trying to do it?
Number one, it has been the official policy of the Department of Education. I've interviewed former, you know, heads of policy there to break down the family, dumb down the population. When we say education's failing, it's because by design it's there to dumb people down. Also, they want to destroy national borders under the guise of free trade agreements as they started the Euro, now the North American Union being expanded under the Security and Prosperity Partnership, signed now a year and a half ago. We are deep inside of it. In fact, here's a quote. Quote, the Council on Foreign Relations is the American branch of the society, which originated in England and believes national boundaries should be obliterated and one world rule established. Professor of History Carol Quigley, Georgetown University, in his book Tragedy and Hope, and he was one of them. Literally hundreds and hundreds of quotes from their own publications. And what did Henry Kissinger say? Because this dovetails into some of the really big treason, foreign troops now becoming a large portion of our military. Today, Americans would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that they were an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. Dr. Henry Kissinger, Bilderberg Conference, Evian, France, 1991. And then I've got Strub Talbot when he was editor of the Time magazine.
Well, let me ask you this, Alex. If this happens, do they still want us to be able to buy goods and services? I mean, do they still want us to buy our two cars, and all that?
Well, no, they want to. That's their big statement. I've got, in fact, Prince Philip's quotes saying he wants a deadly virus to kill 80% of us. I have Ted Turner with the bibliography, where they said it, what publication, what TV show. This is from my book, Descent into Tyranny. They go over all of it. They want to incrementally get us back to a feudal state where we live at a subsistence. Then China's their model. That's why they get all the big UN awards for a one-child policy, for sterilizations, the list goes on and on. This is eugenics. And so that's why they've debased the dollar by 50% now in the last 6 years. That's why they've destroyed the currency. That's why they're right now dismantling the borders. But think about what Henry Kissinger just said there, George, and then realize that 6 years ago, before 9/11, the Washington Post and the Washington Times both reported a new program to hire illegal aliens and give them green cards to join mainly the Army. Then the Marine Corps started.
Right.
Then I saw mainstream articles that I couldn't believe. And I called the Army and they said no comment. And that was, they were hiring not just illegals, but aggravated felons out of the prisons. That doesn't mean a felon. An aggravated, it listed arson, rape, armed robbery.
Severe drug dealing.
Yeah, serious stuff. And then, finally, they announced in AP and in the Boston Globe a month ago, two separate articles, headline Boston Globe, Army considers recruiting foreigners. But then the first paragraph said, well, they've already recruited a whole bunch. 20% of the Army ground force is not U.S. citizens in Iraq. And then it expanded from there and said they're opening even bigger. They're already there in Manila, Philippines, in Mexico City, the city in Mexico, in the Ukraine, in Africa, and, yes, ladies and gentlemen, in Pakistan. This, when I read this in a mainstream newspaper, I can't believe it, but it's happening. Foreign troops will confiscate guns from Americans. They will follow orders. Our troops won't do this. They will oppress the people. And I remember in my film Police State 2000, I went to urban warfare drills in Oakland. We got it in Maryland. We went to North Carolina, and we have the footage of Marines, and they didn't cover it up. They were there with foreign troops. They would actually run real checkpoints, and they would then have role players on top of it, and the role players would scream, I'm an American, please, no, not the camp. They had Dutch troops. They had British troops. They had Australian troops.
What's the timetable for all of this?
it's incremental. You know, just a few months ago, it was on News 8 Austin locally that, hey, 24 Austin police officers in an international law enforcement exchange program are being accredited in Europe and Japan, and 24 foreign officers are being accredited to arrest people in Austin. So,
what?
Yes. George, you know I don't make
foreign
stuff up.
Foreign officers in Austin, Texas will have the right, if they don't already, to arrest citizens of this area.
Under international law.
If they commit crimes.
Yes. Internationally, they can come here and get them. And it's part of these international...
Well, they're not patrolling your streets here, are they?
No. Well, that's actually, I have a huge folder full of hundreds of mainstream news articles where they have exchange programs going back 30 years where Russians would come here and train in police departments and then be part of the operation. And our guys would go there. They call it an exchange program.
Like an internship?
Yes. But it's all part of meshing. But the big point here is, in New Orleans, in the high and dry areas, it was on ABC News... The troops came in, led by the FBI on flatback trucks, went into, $15 million houses. And my point is, if they'll do it to the rich, they'll do it to the poor, and took their guns and said, remember the mayor said no one's allowed to have guns?
Right.
And that really happened. So my point is, they have been saying that they do indeed plan to just, here's an example. It's in my film, Road to Tyranny. 5 years ago, it was in the Associated Press and the Toronto Star, and I have both those articles in the film.
And again, just so people know, this is not the opinion of Alex. This is your interpretation of real articles and news stories that appear in major periodicals.
Yeah, just type in foreign troops in U.S. military.
And the real stories and information will come up.
Yes, and they said in those articles 5 years ago, I say four, time just flying by, it was in 2002, they said that the U.S. Has signed a deal for Continental Security Perimeter to use Mexican and Canadian troops internally in the U.S. during disasters and to fight terrorism. Now, remember after 9/11, Dutch AWACS were in our sky?
I remember.
Remember
that.
The Mexican ships and the Dutch ships?
Didn't we also borrow NATO planes for a while?
Yes. Yes. And remember New Orleans. We had Mexican troops here in Austin. We had Mexican troops in San Antonio. And it said since the first time since the Spanish
War. Yes, I remember that headline in a newspaper. It said Mexican troops on U.S. soil for the first time since the Spanish-American War.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So
true
I mean,
story.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a semi-photographic memory. It's not. I'm just going off this. George, you know, you've said it many times. You watched me for 3 or 4 years before you ever had me on, and this is why you know I'm allowed to get on the air myself and talk about these things.
We monitored you, Alex.
That's right. You monitored me.
We watched everything you did.
We've been watching you in your
and
paper.
Now we have you on.
No, I do the same thing before I interview somebody. That's controversial. I might check out what they're saying, see what they're doing for 2 years. That's what you have to vet. That's what I do. And all I'm saying to the listeners is, we always talked about a Red Dawn scenario. The old timers did. And I'd say that's ridiculous. It isn't Red Dawn where they come out, of the blue sky.
Parachuting their way down.
Yeah, in Nebraska to the schoolyards, and young Charlie Sheen fights them. No, we're talking about a Red Dawn in slow motion where it's just incremental. Our Social Security's merged. There was an AP article where the illegal aliens 2 months ago don't have to show ID to get housing, car loans, and bank accounts.
I saw the red herring yesterday with Ford Motor Company reporting $12 billion in losses for 2006.
And in talks for Toyota to buy them.
Exactly. And I looked at that and I said, you know what? They even want to destroy U.S. corporations.
Oh, no, that's exactly. That is the plan, as H.G. Wells, their futurist, said. We don't want sovereign, independent states, and they don't want a middle class that's independent from them. They want everybody poor, dumb, and stupid.
How much has infrastructure been purchased by foreign companies and foreign individuals,
George,
in this country?
You led the fight. You got on air and you said, it's not six ports going to...
It's 20 plus.
Yeah, 21 to the port of Houston, the port of, right here in Texas, the port of Corpus Christi. All of this is happening. All of this is unfolding. And we have all of these other infrastructures being handed over. And they did a shell game where they're still giving it to the Arabs. But take Sintra, the Spanish-owned company in toll roads that is predominantly owned, a large portion of it, by Juan Carlos, the king of Spain. what they do is under globalization is, and I interviewed the Nobel Prize winner, Joseph Stiglitz, he talked about how when you go into the final phases of receivership, everybody's pointing out, well, the roads were all paid for, and the TxDOT, Texas Department of Public of Transportation documents say we have a surplus. Why are we basically, for pennies on the dollar, handing the roads over for them to then put tolls on them? It's the same thing with Michigan. They made $700 million plus on their lottery last year, and they made $600 million the year before that plus, and the AP reported,
which was supposed to go to education.
Exactly. Now they're just saying for $1 billion, they're going to, for 75 years, or was it 50, just give the lottery to a company and education gets nothing. You see, So it's not just they're buying it. Globalization is to get control of the country. The feds allow these corporations to come in and lobby, i.e. pay off the politicians. They hand them the roads. They hand them the schools. They hand them the lotteries. They hand them everything. It's about these are monopoly men.
All right. Now, you have been talking about this for years. I have been talking about it for years. We are educating the American public about all these things that are going on. But it's not stopping. It's continuing. It's getting quicker.
It's accelerating.
It's accelerating. What's going on? We can't stop it.
Well, that's the scary thing. I only got involved in really studying politics 15 years ago and myself been fighting it publicly for 12, but I've gone back and looked at what happened. 91% in Gallup polls want our borders controlled and illegals deported. Republicans and Democrats together say the first thing they're going to do is blanket total amnesty, guest worker program. 90%+ don't want electronic, no record voting machines. 90%+ in major scientific polls, multiple polls indexed, don't want RFID and all the products to track everybody with radio frequency identification devices. 97% in a Houston Chronicle poll don't want Sentra to be handed 8,000 miles of Texas roads. See, it's so bad I can't even think about it. But they do it. Why suddenly, in the past, if 50, 60, 70% didn't want something, it didn't happen. Why suddenly is the government behaving like this? And it's because they're totally bought and paid for. They know the people are waking up to them, and so they're going for broke. It's what happens when every society goes into a very decadent, destructive cycle. It's once you start racing down to the bottom, it's like going down a slippery slide. You're going the fastest at the bottom. George, why do you think they don't care?
Because they're greedy, and because they have everything they want. And, I've tried to wrestle with why are they even doing this? I mean, what do they care? They've got their great houses, they've got their power, they've got their money, they've got their millions and billions in the bank. Why do they need to do this? You know what? The bottom line is, I think they're sick individuals, Alex. I saw the movie Eyes Wide Shut.
Which, by the way, is based on real activities.
Absolutely. And if you look at it, and if you look beyond the bizarre little games that they played in the movie, these people are bored with their life.
Oh, no, that's it. They want to wreck countries. They love, say, launch the cruise missiles. They love selling nuclear reactors to Kim Jong-il, as Rumsfeld did on the board of ABB in 1996. And you hit the nail on the head. The nature... I mean, an average person can become successful, can become wealthy, but you get fat and happy, you have your grandkids, and, that's it. Only certain sick-type individuals are willing to kill their grandma for a stick of bubble gum, and it's like Stalin. No one was opposing him. He had total power, and he killed 60 million people after he got total power.
Yeah.
It's their nature. It's why does a psychopath go pick women up and torture them and chop their head off and buy chunks out of them? Why did John Wayne Gacy do what he did to those young men? Why did Jeffrey Dahmer do what he did? Why did Ted Bundy do what he did? It is a predatory... sick nature, and you hit the nail on the head, George, and they do it because they can. They do it because they are totally bored, and to them, it's like their whole life. You ever played Risk late with your buddies in college, and you start playing at 8 at night, need a pizza, and it's 4 a.m., and no one will stop because, you've got to win?
Yes.
You get into that power trip with a board game. Well, this isn't a board game for these people, and also, they get trapped in the power system, so they need more power, they think, just to keep safe themselves from all the other wolves that they've engineered and created as their henchmen.
And one wants to be more powerful than the other one.
Exactly. So the system, exactly. People say, well, how does it last hundreds of years? How does royalty last hundreds of years? How does a corporation last hundreds of years? How does a university last hundreds of years? The head of the university gets more power off making the institution stronger.
And then if you try to stop it, like a JFK did, he gets killed.
Yeah, they blew his head off in a ritualized sacrifice just 180 miles north of us in Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas. You're absolutely right. But the good news is...
Is there good news in this?
There is. You were, 10 years ago up there talking on the Nighthawk about this stuff, yeah. And I would venture to say most people didn't agree with you. Now, literally, I don't deserve this, by the way. I do speed. Most of the time, cops pull me over, and I can be in Waco. I can be in California, and they go, oh, Alex Jones, I'm a fan. Go right ahead. And I don't deserve that, but they're such fans of the truth.
Slow down next time, though.
I do need to. But
I'd give you a ticket just to prove a point.
Well, one guy said in right outside Crawford, because I was late to interview some Cindy Sheen and others. I was going to interview up there, and he goes, "Yeah, I'm a big fan. I listen to you on your local show. I listen to you on George Norrie." But he said, "I'm still going to give you a ticket." And I said, "Do you want to see my insurance?" He goes, "No, this is a nice car. I mean, I know you've got insurance, but I want to tell him that was still a speed trap. You're driving down a farm to market road." Speed limit was 65. Uh-huh. There's a school
How fast are you going?
I think I was going 65. But the thing is, I'm saying it's 65.
But then you come down to a screeching halt.
And way off the road behind trees is a tiny school.
Yeah.
So literally he's waiting right where the sign is. Yeah. I'm on the cell phone.
You can't come down fast enough.
Exactly, and he still got me. But the point is, people are waking up. 84% in a Angus and Reid poll. 4 months ago, we covered it on air, said that they believe they're being lied to about 9/11. In an Ohio University Scripps Howard News Service poll, 68% believe they're being lied to about 9/11. 36% believe it's a total inside job. And that's people getting cold called on the phone. Most people would say, oh, no, I don't think it's an inside job, even when they do. I mean, George, I get 2,000-3,000 emails a day. Maybe five people disagree with me. People say, oh, man, you got a tough job. People must hate you. I'm sick of it. I can't buy my own food at any restaurant in Austin. I can be in England and I can hardly buy my food now. I want to pay for my food. If I happen to be in a bar meeting some friends, I can't buy my own beer. It's everywhere. I mean, listen, people.
And 5 years ago? Was it that way?
5 years ago, it was like 50% agreed with me, and the other half thought I was nuts. But so much of what you talked about and I talked about and others talked about, I mean, they heard before me, they heard the old-timers talk about a North American Union. They heard the old-timers talk about how they'd stage terror attacks. They heard the old-timers talk about how they would get rid of our borders. They heard the old-timers talk about how they'd hand over our infrastructure. I mean, people know that. I mean, they're not just putting up cameras here in Austin. They're putting them up in the neighborhoods and microphones. All over the country, they're putting cameras in the school bathroom stalls. Mm-hmm. They're making the children thumb scan to get school lunches. I mean, and again, I was reading federal documents 12 years ago, and I got on air, and I said, they're going to make you thumb scan to check out your books. They're going to make you thumb scan to get your school lunches, even if you're trying to pay for it. They're going to trying to make you take vaccines. All of that's happening.
Sure. And wait till the chips start. Wait till they say, Alex, you're going to have to get this chip. Or you won't be able to get your money from your bank account.
Remember the Mexican Attorney General 3 years ago?
Oh, yeah. His whole staff had to do it.
Yeah. And then I had the Bergen County Sheriff on in New Jersey. 2 million people in the county. I had him on because he's pushing the Applied Digital Solutions microchip. And I said, will you make people take it? He goes, yes, I want to make everyone. I have it on tape. He said, I want to make everyone take it, and that's our plan. I had the CEO on. He said, the chip will prevail, and they're already making special forces troops take it.
I think only one state in our country, Wisconsin, has decided you can't be forced to take it.
They passed a law.
Yeah, if I remember that. Stay with us. Next hour, the final hour. Boy, did this day go by fast. Alex Jones will take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.